Well, I'd like to begin our message time today with just a little 4th of July added beginning here. It actually does fit our text, but I'm going to tell you how to vote. We voted just a month ago. We're going to vote in a few months. People are all excited about it. We're getting advertisements on TV and everywhere else already telling us how to vote. Never mind all of those. I am now your pastor. I'm going to tell you how to vote. And if any of you want to take a recording of this and show it to the powers that be, I'm not going to get in trouble for this, I'm pretty sure. Here's how you should vote. Get your pencils out. As you stand before your ballot, say, God, you are God, and I am not. And neither are any of the people whose names appear before me. Holy Spirit, bless all of them because they all need you, and none of them is a devil I need to fear. And neither do any of them need to be my Savior, Jesus, because you have already come, and you have died, and you have saved, and you are risen. You are risen indeed. May you be glorified by the choices I make today, and especially by the reasons I make them. Then, thank God for the privilege of voting and vote to the best of your ability and knowledge the way you believe God wants you to vote. That's it. Do that. Listen, politics are important. Participate. Politics are important, and this is an important lesson that we find in the book of Judges. Judges, the book itself, the story in this period in Israel's history, serves many purposes, but one of them is to set up what is called the period of the monarchy, to show the people's need for governance in a world where people do not naturally honor God and keep his commandments. People need help to stay within the boundaries. This is where government comes in. God was supposed to be able to do that for his people without additional temporal help. The people needed more help. And we are going to see this. We are seeing this in this downward spiral. People going round and round and round, but also spiraling down in the period of the judges. They need more help. They are not willing to let God guide them like God can and will. Gideon, whom I have called and others have called the ideal judge, who had that miracle start that Elder Chris Rhodes told us about a couple of weeks ago, had a great middle that hopefully some of you read about. He did amazing things with God and a modicum of faith and trust. He achieved big victories with God and a small army. He was transformed from the seemingly insignificant coward hiding in fear, the coward he thought himself to be, transformed into the mighty warrior God said he was. Gideon, the ideal judge, whose life in some ways, as I mentioned last week, gives us a kind of a microcosm of the history of Israel, had a poor ending. I chose to emphasize the gap between what Gideon said and what he did. He said God should be king over all his people, but then he behaved as though God wasn't a reliable king over the one man named Gideon. Gideon gathered a collection as though there were no God who was wise to be considered and consulted in all things. Gideon constructed a monument, the impressive ephod, as though there were no God who is great to be worshipped alone. Gideon named his son. And in some ways, I think we can make the case that he was naming his future as though there were no God who is good to be trusted and followed in every life circumstance. In essence, Gideon separated himself in practice from the God he had known, worked with, and trusted in the past, and whom he still affirmed verbally. This is a warning to the head nodders like me among us here today. You hear the word of God, you hear the truth from God, and you nod your head. That's really easy. going out and living as though that were true is much more difficult. How important is all of this? Well, listen, when we get off track, Abimelech happens. Let's look at the first part of our text for today. It's from Judges chapter 9, verses 1 through 21. We're going to learn about Abimelech, whom I'm calling the Judge Unplugged, and Jotham's fable. Hear the word of God. Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal, went to his mother's brothers in Shechem and said to them and to all his mother's clan, "Ask all the citizens of Shechem, which is better for you, to have all 70 of Jerubbaal's sons rule over you, or just one man? Remember, I am your flesh and blood." You may remember that we were told last week that Abimelech's mother was a concubine of Gideon from Shechem. Well, when the brothers repeated all this to the citizens of Shechem, they were inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, "He is our brother." They gave him 70 shekels of silver from the temple of Baal-Berith, and Abimelech used it to hire reckless adventurers who became his followers. He went to his father's home in Ophrah, and on one stone murdered his 70 brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, escaped by hiding. Then all the citizens of Shechem and Beth Milo gathered beside the great tree at the pillar in Shechem to crown Abimelech king. When Jotham was told about this, he climbed up on the top of Mount Gerizim and shouted to them, "Listen to me, citizens of Shechem, so that God may listen to you. One day the trees went out to anoint a king for themselves. They said to the olive tree, 'Be our king.' But the olive tree answered, 'Should I give up my oil, by which both gods and men are honored, to hold sway over the trees?' Next, the trees said to the fig tree, 'Come and be our king.' But the fig tree replied, 'Should I give up my fruit, so good and sweet, to hold sway over the trees?' Then the trees said to the vine, 'Come and be our king.' But the vine answered, 'Should I give up my wine, which cheers both gods and men, to hold sway over the trees?' Finally, all the trees said to the thorn bush, 'Come and be our king.' The thorn bush said to the trees, 'If you really want to anoint me king over you, come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, then let fire come out of the thorn bush and consume the cedars of Lebanon. Now, if you have acted honorably and in good faith when you made Abimelech king, and if you have been fair to Jerubbaal and his family, and if you have treated him as he deserves, and to think that my father fought for you, risked his life to rescue you from the hand of Midian, but today you have revolted against my father's family, murdered his 70 sons on a single stone, and made Abimelech, the son of his slave girl, king over the citizens of Shechem because he is your brother. If then you have acted honorably and in good faith toward Jerubbaal and his family today, may Abimelech be your joy, and may you be his too. But if you have not, let fire come out from Abimelech and consume you, citizens of Shechem and Beth Milo, and let fire come out from you, citizens of Shechem and Beth Milo, and consume Abimelech.' Then Jotham fled, escaping to Beer, and he lived there because he was afraid of his brother Abimelech." Let's pray. Lord God, once again, we ask that you would help us to make sense of this part of your story with your people, to take to heart the lessons that you have for us today. And then, Lord, help us to be doers of the word and not merely hearers. And we pray this in your name and for your sake. Amen. Abimelech happens. How important is this staying connected with the living God stuff? Well, it's very important. And it's very important for leadership. So we have Jotham's fable. Jotham, the only surviving son of Gideon, also known as Jerubbaal, after Abimelech's vicious and politically motivated purge, all of those would be a threat to his kingship he got rid of. The trees in Jotham's fable are just trying to be good trees. The vines, just good vines. They were not interested in being kings over the rest of the forest. But then there was the thorn bush. a picture of one who is dishonorable, sinister. It's a dangerous image. The thorn bush that was sought out because the trees were more interested in having a king than in being wise, in being who they were meant to be and living under the one true king who is the Creator God. Take refuge in my shade, the thorn bush says. And this is a deception. It's a lie. What shade? Yeah, so you know, you guys know about thorn bushes and trees. How many of you put thorn bushes in your backyard hoping that one day it would grow up and you'd be able to sit under the shade, right? Doesn't happen. How is a tall tree going to find shade in a low-lying, low-life thorn bush? They can't. So they will have to pretend. Sort of like the emperor's new clothes. Hey, look at this great shade that we're getting. Right. Otherwise, if the trees, according to the word of the thorn bush, if the trees won't let the thorn bush be over them and provide them the shade that it can't provide, then the thorn bush says, let fire come out and consume the cedars of Lebanon. This is the other way for the thorn bush to become king. And it's the way of Abimelech. Kill your adversaries. Don't fight fair, just fight. Preserve your power. Build a hedge of violence around yourself. You know, thank God people historically haven't done that sort of thing. Yeah. Eliminate the political opposition. Neutralize a threat of those who would actually make a better king. Thorn bushes are good for starting and spreading fire. Ironically, they do so by being themselves good fuel for fire. It's hard to start a fire with a living tree trunk, but once a fire gets going, it can destroy the largest of trees. Righteous leaders provide tree-like shade for their people. They bring order, protection, justice. They are there and they recognize themselves to be there in this position of temporal power in order to promote righteousness and restrain evil. Wicked leaders are like wild thorn bushes bringing fire upon the people and upon themselves. Abimelech was a thorn bush. The fire of wickedness destroyed the other more noble trees. He created chaos socially and politically. He promoted the evil he perpetrated. Very soon he died by the chain of events set in motion by his own treacherous, fear-based rule. The key to being a strong, shade-providing tree type of leader rather than a dangerous, fire-provoking thorn bush type, what Gideon the father couldn't, didn't sustain, and what Abimelech the son never even attempted, stay connected to God. Say that God is God, and you are not. Do your best to behave accordingly. Seek God's wisdom and do what he says. Affirm God's greatness and honor him. Name God's goodness your future hope and trust in him. Nobody is going to do all this perfectly well. Not in this life, not this side of the fall. But a good leader will try hard for the sake of his or her people to do these very things. A little recap here from Jotham's fable. Righteous leaders are like a strong tree providing shade for the people. Wicked leaders are like a wild thorn bush bringing fire upon the people and upon themselves. And the key factor is connection with God. What happens when we lose interest in knowing God? When we decide we can't or just don't want to bother trusting him? What happens when we stop seeking God's wisdom, honoring his name, and especially trusting in his power and grace? What happens when we behave as though we don't know and trust our wise, great, and good God despite what we might still be saying? What happens? Abimelech happens. By the way, I think that would make a good bumper sticker. It also would have made a good sermon title, but I went with fire and shade instead. Stuff happens. Moral excrement happens. Sin happens. Wickedness happens. Abimelech happens. As goodness, righteousness, and justice flow from our connection with God, so wickedness flows when we are disconnected from God. I remember years ago there was an advertisement for DirecTV. Do they even still have DirecTV?
Yes.
Okay. I don't think they have the same ad, but it was a long time ago, but I always remember it. It was very funny. Really dumb. Totally illogical, but very funny. And it went something like this. When your cable TV company keeps you on hold, you get angry. When you get angry, you go blow off steam. When you go blow off steam, accidents happen. When accidents happen, you get an eye patch. When you get an eye patch, people think you're tough. When people think you're tough, people want to see how tough. When people want to see how tough, you wake up in a roadside ditch. Don't wake up in a roadside ditch. Get DirecTV. Now, though the purpose of this ad was, like all the others, to get money out of your pocket and into somebody else's bank account, I thought it was funny. And it may aid us in our attempt today to embrace biblical wisdom as we consider the story of Abimelech, the anti-judge. Here's the biblical wisdom, with thanks to DirecTV. When you forget that God is God and you are not, that he is absolutely wise and great and good, that he above all else is your hope and trust, and that you are here to glorify him, you name your son, your future, Abimelech, which means my father is king. When you name your son, your future, my father is king, he forgets God too. When he forgets God too, he murders his 70 brothers to secure his kingship. When he murders his 70 brothers to secure his kingship, he makes powerful enemies. When he makes powerful enemies, he has to attack them in their towers. When he has to attack them in their towers, a woman drops a rock on his head. When a woman drops a rock on his head, he almost dies in disgrace. When he almost dies in disgrace, he orders his armor bearer to run him through. When his armor bearer runs him through, he dies. When he dies, your legacy ends. Don't let your legacy end. Don't forget that God is God and you are not. The purpose of this tragic story? To help you toward health, wholeness, and eternal life. As goodness, righteousness, and justice flow from our connection with God, so wickedness flows when we are disconnected from God. Does this have to happen? Aren't there infinite possibilities in life for those who are not connected with God by faith, as well as those who are? What's at stake in all this? Well, by way of illustration, let me share with you another memory I have. I was driving down a road, I think it was near here, and I saw a sign that said, "Lane ends, merge left." The problem was, it was a two-lane road. I think there was some confusion because of a construction area, and it probably didn't mean what it sounded like it meant. I mean, in that case, it'd be merge left means get ready for a fatal head-on collision. I think it's the same in life. The warning of the book of Judges as a whole, and dramatically the terrible story of Abimelech, Gideon's son, the anti-judge, is like that sign on a two-lane road. If connection with the living God is not happening, personally, corporately, Abimelech happens. And there are lots of Abimelechs in our world history books, because ours is a fallen world where people naturally believe they are God and God is not. And the stakes could not be higher. Life and death. Lane ends. Merge into a head-on collision with sin and death. The Abimelech saga continues. I'm going to pick up the story in verse 22. After Abimelech had governed Israel 3 years, God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the citizens of Shechem, who acted treacherously against Abimelech. God did this in order that the crime against Jerubbaal's 70 sons, the shedding of their blood, might be avenged on their brother Abimelech and on the citizens of Shechem who had helped him murder his brothers. From there, the story goes on. The city of Shechem sets up bands of robbers to assail passers-by. Rival leaders ingratiate themselves to the people of Shechem and call them to oust Abimelech and follow them instead. Abimelech, aided by his spies, drives his opponents out of Shechem. And remember, this is the place that helped him become king, murder his brothers, and gain power. Drives his opponents out of Shechem, sacks the city, and kills the last of its people holed up in the Tower of Shechem by getting branches and setting the tower on fire. Setting the tower on fire. Remember Jotham's fable? Yikes. Fresh from victory in Shechem, Abimelech and his army press on, and the story continues. I'm going to pick it up in verse 50. Next, Abimelech went to Thebes and besieged it and captured it. Inside the city, however, was a strong tower. Apparently, towers were real popular in those days. To which all the men and women, all the people of the city, fled. They locked themselves in and climbed up on the tower roof. Abimelech went to the tower and stormed it. But as he approached the entrance to the tower, two set it on fire. A woman dropped an upper millstone on his head and cracked his skull. Hurriedly, he called to his armor bearer, "Draw your sword and kill me so they can't say a woman killed him." So his servant ran him through and he died. When the Israelites saw that Abimelech was dead, they went home. Thus God repaid the wickedness that Abimelech had done to his father by murdering his 70 brothers. God also made the men of Shechem pay for all their wickedness. The curse of Jotham, son of Jerubbaal, came on them. This was all there was. If this is the world that we live in, inescapable. Sooner or later, lane ends, merge left, head-on collision. If that was all there were, frankly, we wouldn't be here this morning. We might not be here at all. But there is an answer for the Abimelech happens reality of power-craving people in our broken world. Jesus happens. Authentic judges that we see in the book of Judges and in other times, authentic government leaders, they do happen. Imperfectly connected to God, but connected nonetheless. They're rallying figures, uniting people by blood. They offer a rich presence we see throughout the book of Judges, and I think in other places and times. They're spirit-filled, perfectly supported by God to provide what his people need. They're redeemers, bringing deliverance from those who oppose God's people. On the other hand, you have Abimelech, the anti-judge, disconnected from God. He's a barricading figure, dividing people by blood, bribing presence, paying others to provide the support he desires and lacks. And he's a butcher, murdering those who oppose him. Ah, but let me tell you now about the ultimate judge. His name is Jesus, Yeshua, the Son of God, the perfect connecting God. He is the ultimately uniting figure, bringing people of all blood types together by his blood. He is the ultimately redeeming presence, paying for the support others need. He's the ultimate savior, sacrificing himself for those who oppose him. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, not for the few that were able to stop sinning and qualify themselves. While they were yet opponents of God, while I was yet an opponent of God, Jesus died for me, redeemed me, called me to himself. You see, before Abimelech happened, God happened. Creation comes from the words spoken by God. Abimelech lives because Yahweh God is creator. Redemption history from the time of Abraham is underway, and it will not be stopped by all the Abimelechs, all of the would-be kings the world can supply. After Abimelech happens, Jesus happens. Now there's a bumper sticker worth putting on your car. Jesus happens. He's the real king, the only real king, the only ultimate Lord over all. And he died for his people in order to bring us life eternal by reconnecting us with God, the Father, with him, the Son, his eternal Father, and their Holy Spirit. Lane ends, merge left. Now there's a life issue, the life issue, the one we all must face. Your life, friends, in this world, with no divine intervention, lane ends, merge left, head-on collision, lights out, fade to black, right? Head-on collision with sin and eventually death just ahead. In this world, Abimelech is going to happen. In this world, Abimelech is going to be us sometimes. But in this world now, it does not have to be so, because Jesus happens. When we find ourselves disconnected from God, perhaps saying one thing and doing another, because of our lack of faith and wicked behavior, we can turn back to God and realize he has never turned away from us. Jesus happens. Head-on collision with sin and eventually with death ahead? Hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lane ends. Merge up. Impossible? My life card doesn't have an up gear. Impossible for us. Very possible for God. In fact, it's just what he did through the life, teaching, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord, and his promise that we too will be raised by that same power. Lane ends. Merge up. Let's put our trust again and again and again and again in him. As goodness, righteousness, and justice flow from our connection with God, so wickedness flows when we are disconnected from God. Yes, Abimelech happens. But before that, and during that, and after that, Jesus happens. And his powerful goodness triumphs over sin and death. And in him, we overcome our natural tendencies, putting to death the Abimelech within us, because God will remain connected to us. So the ultimate truth, because of the ultimate judge, Jesus Christ, couldn't be better. Goodness, righteousness, and justice will flow for us, to us, and through us forever. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you once again for your word that blesses us. Lord, we thank you for the story of your people Israel that tells us about ourselves and tells us about you and your faithfulness to every generation, in every life, in every circumstance. Lord, help us, each of us and all of us together as your church, as a matter of first importance, to stay connected to you through every means possible and every means that you have given to us. All of the disciplines, all of the words that you have given to us. We pray this in your name and for your sake. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing together hymn number 420 as we prepare for communion. At the Lamb's High Feast, we sing.